Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Pete Schwabe from Nightlights, which you hear across the network Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m., is going to be joining us at 11:33 to talk all things entertainment. There's some breaking news in the reality TV world that will shock the nation.
Oh, boy.
And then we're going to talk about binge watching and what Pete has been watching and what you're all watching. So we're going to lighten things up a little bit coming up after the 11:30 news. Stay tuned for that. Wanted to get started, though, with talking about our Congress and all the hard work they do, Greg Bach.
Mm-hmm.
They are the present Congress, according to the founder of Mediaite, a Mr. Abrams, says the present Congress is on track to be four times less productive than the least productive Congress of the last 50 years.
How is that possible?
They don't get enough credit for not doing anything. They're so good at it.
They're doing the non-work right now.
On behalf of the people.
Yeah.
They're doing nothing on behalf of us. And then yesterday, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise announced that the House won't be in session on June 6th because members are going to France for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Okay, and we should be offering our respect on D-Day, certainly for all the lives that were lost, and it's important to mark these occasions. But as this author points out in The Bulwark, what's interesting is D-Day signifies brings home the utter and dishonorable failure of the America First movement that was so powerful in politics before we joined World War II. The America First Committee was formed in September of 1940 after France fell to Hitler during the assault on Britain, and they formed this party to keep the U.S. out of this war. Mm. I don't know. And now we want America First again.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's, of course, what we want. To be in America number one, America First, always and forever. Never, ever think about anybody else.
Today's America First Republicans who oppose aid for Ukraine are following the path their predecessors took before Pearl Harbor. Those Republicans back then at least had the excuse they didn't know what was going to happen in Europe, and they didn't have the lessons of subsequent decades from which to learn. Today's America First Republicans have no such excuse.
Because America First means America First in all other, in the face of all the people. It truly means us and the rest of you, it's good luck. Whereas I watched a discussion and the idea, the concept of America First can absolutely be achieved by helping others. As we were talking about with Brigadier General yesterday, Steve Anderson,
yep.
NATO isn't just about war. It's also about peacetime. And there are economic benefits that we get by being a part of NATO.
Absolutely.
Putting America first while working with others. We send money to Ukraine. I'm going to throw out a crazy idea here, Jane. Ukraine is currently under attack by Russia because Russia wants Ukraine.
Wants it back.
Yeah. Ukraine wants their freedom. What did we want 250 years ago from the King of England? We wanted our freedom. Now, I know it's going to sound real schmaltzy and real corny, but I think the fact that any one of these sitting congressmen, especially the ones who are America First, have any doubt about giving any money or any aid, whether it's soldiers down the road or whether it's selling them used military equipment, the fact that we wouldn't be on board for Ukraine, the fact that we wouldn't be, you know, dropping these tanks down for them with soldiers swinging Ukrainian flags for freedom is beyond me, because the idea that we want our freedom and we must have our freedom. And if we don't, that is the essence of this country will be wiped from the earth. The fact that we don't want that for Ukraine and see someone like Vladimir Putin coming in as the total enemy, coming the world
of freedom. Yes.
It's mind-boggling to me. It doesn't make any sense. It's so hypocritical. It's so simple. They want freedom. Let's help them. We can help them.
And I highly encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to listen yesterday to retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson, you can always find it. It's a podcast. Go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and then that will take you to our page. Every episode of our show is on there. So it's all archived all the way back. But we had retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson on yesterday from 10:30 to 11, talking about the importance of NATO, talking about the importance of Ukraine, and the importance of standing with our allies and what it will do to America standing in the world if we abandon these people.
Or abandon NATO.
Yeah,
I mean, too. Just, you want a little taste of it? Remember when we pulled out of the climate agreements of Paris?
Yes.
The embarrassment of it all and the scrum it created. What are we going to do? America's not a part of this. What are we going to do with we had a partnership here. If we pull out of supporting Ukraine, I don't know if this will also sound dramatic. I don't know if America will recover its status in this world anytime soon, because they won't be able to trust us.
Absolutely. Tragically.
Yeah. But don't worry, Jane. Congressmen, sorry, did we get off topic? I have no idea. But the problem is, congressmen are going to go to France on our dime. Once again, our dime.
Well, and this for me caps it, really. And again, I understand why they want to go. It's the 80th anniversary of D-Day. You know, offer your respects.
Yes.
I understand that. But what really puts the cherry on this sundae? A group of House Republican veterans who are preparing for this 80th anniversary by jumping out of original C-47 transport planes from World War II. They practiced over the weekend in Florida. Representative Dan Crenshaw, Ronnie Jackson, Rich McCormick, Mark Green, Corey Mills, Daryl Issa, and another one, Michael Waltz, all jumped out over the weekend, their little practice parachute dives, getting ready for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. First of all, they have a really slim majority.
Yeah.
So I don't know if jumping out of planes is really a good thing to do right now. Not that, I mean, and I've gone skydiving, I've jumped out of planes. For the amount of people who do this, it is actually quite safe.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they tell you before you sign up to do this, just FYI, you can die.
Yeah.
Because it happens.
I've done it twice, and both times I remember thinking to myself, this could be it.
This could be bad.
But here I am. But yeah, they have a razor-thin majority. Also, I guess, you know, I want to say, how does it look that in the middle of all this turmoil that you claim to be there, you claim there is in this world? Yes, go and pay your respects to the fallen soldiers. To all the blood, sweat, and tears they put into keeping the world free.
Yes.
First of all, pay for your ticket yourself. Pay for your own hotel. I'd have much more respect for them if they did that. But also, this is just a bad look to be jumping out of a plane, high-fiving for freedom when you think people overseas, Europeans, and by the way, they do consider themselves Europeans. We found out yesterday from Steve Anderson.
Right.
Are dying for their freedom, and you're sitting there jumping on a plane saying, I just don't think we should give them anything. Bad look. Bad look, my dudes.
It is a bad look. You're absolutely right. And I don't want anyone to get hurt, and I really don't want these guys to get hurt. But again, I just find, did anybody cross, ask Mike Johnson, do you mind if we go put our lives at risk and, you know, could throw the majority if something happens to one of us?
I think it's fairly certain that Mike Johnson doesn't have a good control on that side of the aisle. And
fair enough.
And if what we're seeing is true from MTG, which is the worst rap name ever, I don't know how much longer he's going to be Speaker of the House.
That's true. Well, he's flying down to Mar-a-Lago today because he's going to make apparently some statements with the former president about election integrity from Mar-a-Lago.
I just feel so much better now, Jane. There's nothing more integral and integrous, and there's no more integrity than Mar-a-Lago. I love it. I love it when speakers of the house go down there to kiss his ring. I love it. It's just one of the funniest things on earth.
And again, I go back to, if the situation were reversed and we had a Democratic Speaker of the House who is going to meet with former President Obama on a regular basis, the hair on fire would never end.
No.
It would never end.
I mean, they tried to, the president went on a trip, President Obama, I believe it was to India, and they tried to push a narrative that it was like $2 billion a day. Like, it's just, no matter what the other side does, they blow it up into this weird, just factually inaccurate thing. But let's get our buddies. Let's get in a plane. Let's jump out for freedom. Because who doesn't love freedom?
And I am a little, quite frankly, I'm a little concerned about Mike Johnson going down to Mar-a-Lago this weekend, because pretty much he's going to come back Monday and say there's no aid to Ukraine. Because Trump doesn't want aid to Ukraine, because Vladimir Putin doesn't want aid to Ukraine.
That's what MTG's big problem is with, is that Mike Johnson actually sees a point in giving
aid
to Ukraine. But I don't know. I mean, and here's the other thing, too. The Bible, help people, Jesus, Christianity, all that stuff. You're helping people. I don't know.
You're thinking New Testament again, Greg.
I know. You're right. I'm such a dumb pants.
You're a New Testament kind of guy. You're less about the smiting. I feel like there's a pro smite faction.
Oh, they would love smiting.
There's some pro smites. Speaking of not getting anything done, House Republicans are going to do something on Monday.
What's that?
We have all the details right after this.
Another tease, Jane.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Calvin's ready to take your calls at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Last hour, we had Dan Schaefer here from the Recombobulation Area, and we were talking about California guy, axe-throwing, lake-sitting Eric Hovde, jumping all over nursing homes and residents of nursing homes.
Because they've had it too easy for too long.
Yeah,
Jane.
And apparently, you know, they're all close to death, and so they shouldn't be able to vote, and no one is in a condition to vote.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get back around to this text from Lynn from Oconomowoc. Maybe Hovde needs to be educated. Nursing homes are referred to as long-term care facilities. Maybe he's confusing those with hospice facilities. And that's what I originally thought too, Tammy. I did. I thought, Is he talking about hospice? Anyway, Tammy shared that I hospiced my husband at home, and he, a retired Milwaukee police officer and longtime member of Planned Parenthood, was able to vote for Hillary.
You don't hear that very often.
No, you certainly don't.
Thank you so much,
Thank you so much, Lynn. And that must have been very difficult for you. I have so much compassion for people who are caregivers. It's one of the hardest things.
I can say from experience, it's not an easy trail to take.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt about it. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the House Republicans. Dan Abrams in Mediaite says the present Congress is on track to be four times less productive than the least productive Congress of the last 50 years. Way to go, guys. You accomplished something. You did nothing. Did it better than anybody else. however, on Monday, Greg Bach, they are going to be doing some things. House Republicans proposing a number of bills focusing on rules about household appliances after some regulations from the Biden administration. President Biden has passed a number of laws prioritizing reducing the effects of climate change, including the Inflation Reduction Act that designates almost $370 billion toward green energy transition. They have also established stricter regulations for gas stoves and dishwashers and have introduced proposals to make ceiling fans more energy efficient. This reminds me of the outcry when we were going to the light bulbs were changing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The six bills that they're going to tackle on Monday. Stop Unaffordable Dishwasher Standards Act. The Liberty and Laundry Act. The Affordable Air Conditioning Act, the Clothes Dryer Reliability Act, the Hands Off Our Home Appliances Act, and I think this last one is my favorite, the Refrigerator Freedom Act, Greg Bach.
Congratulations, America.
Free the fridge.
Free the fridge.
Free the fridge. Free the fridge.
America, where our appliances have more rights than women.
I shouldn't laugh.
You're a lady. This isn't surprising. First of all, every time this happens, I always know that a ridiculous law is going to come up or a bill is going to try to be passed when a place like a Fox News or a News Nation or OAN is saying they're going to take our refrigerators, our gas stoves, our burgers, our this, our that. When really what it is just a simple and, once again, nuanced plan to help make things more energy efficient, because we're dealing with conservation issues. We're dealing with these things that are harming the earth, and we're not taking anything away. You can still get your gas stove. You can still get your gigantic refrigerator that looks like your cabinet doors. You can get all those things, but they're trying to create something that just runs a little more efficiently and honestly saves you money in the long run. If you have a refrigerator or a washing machine that's energy efficient, you're going to save money over time, because I don't want to pay a big bill for an old washing machine that's going to send my electrical bill going skyrocketing.
Not to mention your water.
But then
water
again,
usage.
Yeah, but then again, that has nothing to do with the common good and us as a team, America. It has to do with, if I want to run a dishwasher that does a lot, that uses a lot of energy, that's my right.
I should be free to do that.
Yeah, you know you are. And there's a place called eBay. My dude, you can find yourself an old dishwasher or washing machine and buy it, install it, have at it. But brand new, we want some better options.
And again, just keep this in mind when you think about what our lawmakers are paid. At least in Congress, they're making $174,000 a year. Nothing else more important than these six bills. Yeah. Nothing more urgent for Congress to deal with. Nothing more pressing going on in our country, not to mention globally. Nothing more important, Greg Bach, than the Stop Unaffordable Dishwasher Standards Act, the Liberty and Laundry Act, the Affordable Air Conditioning Act, the Clothes Dryer Reliability Act, the Hands Off Our Home Appliances Doggone It Act, and the Refrigerator Freedom Act.
Freedom for refrigerators.
Free the fridge.
Sorry, Ukraine. We got things to do.
That's right. We have more important things to deal with.
Yeah. $174,000 a year. That's just a base salary. That doesn't include all the other perks that come with.
Yeah, and there's perks, boy.
Like free plane rides to Paris.
They're working hard for us.
Myvote.wi.gov. Call your representative and tell them what you think about this. If you like it, fine. Tell them you love it. I don't care. But if you don't like it, tell them. Because if they don't know, they can't do anything about it.
And I think it's easy to get complacent, and it's easy to think, well, they're not going to listen to me. But I do think if you call and are respectful, at least it's a way to start some dialogue and to let them know that we're watching and that we're paying attention.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, this stuff just skates by in the background and people aren't really aware of what's going on. with our money as taxpayers.
Jake from Madison listening on WXCO says, if the Republicans are doing all these bills about non-issues, it's because Republicans are cooked for November. I'd love to think that, but I ain't assuming anything.
I don't know.
This is what losing politicians do and should be ID'd as such, Jake in Madison. I'd love to say, yeah, they're doing this as a last gasp, but every year, every 2 years we do this where we think, oh my gosh, these guys couldn't possibly survive election. They're so dumb. They're so lazy. They're so nothing. And they win.
Over and over again.
And sometimes not even challenged.
Yeah. And that's why we need to turn out this year in numbers that are indisputable.
Yeah.
We don't need another 20,000 votes, you know, only winning by 20,000 votes. We need to put these things away and vote in massive numbers so that this stuff can't come up for debate.
We need an election like Justice Janet winning.
Smoke them.
Just be like, oh, 20 minutes after. All right, I'm going to have a cocktail. I'm going to bed early tonight, folks.
It was a nice night.
This was easy.
All right, stay with us. News is coming up next. And when we return, all things entertainment with Nightlight's Pete Schwabba will be joining us. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Tricky words. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. You hear him every weeknight, Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Our colleague Pete Schwabba is here. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Good morning, you guys. I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Nice to have you back. It's been a couple of months. I think we talked to you right after you first started, and you sound great. You got contacts.
Oh, thanks.
You got contacts on top of contacts, Pete.
Well, I know it's a little perverted, but you have been a guest on my show as well, Jane, and so has Greg. And you guys were great guests on Nightlight, too. It was really fun having you.
Bringing that stock up, baby.
I wanted to start off with shocking news ripping through reality television this morning with the news that the Golden Bachelor couple, Jerry Turner and Teresa Nist, have announced they're getting divorced after being married for all of 3 months.
And it sounds like they did a lot of talking during that time about whether the marriage would work and about if they could go. They were like, we had a lot of talks. I'm like, a lot of talks? You were married not even 3 months. I mean, I don't understand. Like, that show, it's funny because I was reading about it when you said this is something we might talk about. And people are like, we still want people to find inspiration and date in their 70s. I'm like, that's great, but don't look. If you're looking to reality TV for inspiration in anything, you're completely irrational.
Absolutely.
Because it's all staged. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I like that they're, you know, that was kind of an interesting twist. I mean, if I'm one of the producers of the show, I'm like, hey, how about if we do this for people in their 70s? It's like, okay, that's great. But, you know, I was just reading through the article and they were like, oh, he got down on his knee and it was one of the most romantic things in the world. Yeah. Until he couldn't get up.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand it. And you know, whatever, I'm not a reality TV guy. I do follow it mostly because of Nightlight, but, she said that, apparently something in Jerry's past, his dating past too, did not sit well with her.
Oh, I know, no.
I remember
70s. Like, are they going to be there? They want to each other to be there first. What could he possibly have done?
The couple revealed their intention to go their separate ways on Good Morning America. We've looked closely at our situation. our living situation and so forth. And we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage. It's been 3 months.
Well, long overdue.
I mean, I remember when this show first was announced and people lost their minds.
Yeah.
Present right. company included. You were pretty excited about this.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't? I thought you were excited about this.
No, I never watch reality television.
Okay, then never mind.
Never.
But the other thing, too, is what were we expecting? Were we really expecting the two of them to hold hands, like, notebook style and pass away in a together?
In
like,
a field, yes.
20 years down the road. Right. No, this is reality. This is reality television. The fact they made it 3 months is amazing. They're like, we did a lot of talking. How much talking, as you said, Pete, how much talking did they do?
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, they would have lived their days together only if TV could cover it. I mean, the whole thing is a sham. I mean, ABC must not have had too much confidence in the marriage either, because, you know, if you're springing for a wedding at a La Quinta, you're not showing a ton of confidence. I guess the Baymont was booked or something. But
for our non-Spanish speakers, that's Spanish for the Quinta.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I'm wondering, Pete. I mean, with your knowledge of how Hollywood works, couldn't this have been in their contract that it's like, look, you guys are going to get married. You only have to do it for 3 months, and then you're going to come out and announce that it just isn't working out, and we'll let you go.
You know, I mean, anything's possible, Jane. I don't know that they would go to those lengths, but I know all of it is scripted, and it's just a way not to pay writers. When people are working on reality TV, they paint these scenarios. Well, maybe you could react like this. And then, you know, it's like you feed the beast, and then these attention seekers, they go crazy with it. And pretty soon, before you know it, your last name is Kardashian. So anyway, yeah, but no, that wouldn't surprise me, but I've never heard of that, but nothing would surprise me.
I do think it's important, though, and I have had this discussion with people, because I remember when the Bachelor in its earliest days would come around to cities and have casting calls. And because I was working for a music radio station and we were involved in setting up some of those and doing these events with the casting producers, and they said the nastiest things about these young women as they left, because they are casting for a role.
Yeah.
They are casting for the beautiful bad girl. They're casting for the sweet, nice girl. They're casting for roles. And at least in the early days of that show, these young women genuinely believed it. And it was heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah. None of that surprises me, Jane. It's just, they want drama. They want, you know, subterfuge fusion, like all this, you know, they want the person who stabs people in the back. I got to be honest. Here's how stupid I am. When Survivor came out, I got suckered into watching the first season of Survivor. It was like 1998 or whatever.
Yep.
And that was my first exposure to reality TV. And I thought, OK, when it was done, I was like, all right, whatever. That was fine. Now we can go back to normal. Now that reality TV has had its little day in the sun. Well, nope. It is huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's here to stay. Unfortunately, it took me 25 years to realize that.
Well, and I actually blame that show. I blame Survivor for a lot of things. And I blame Survivor for our embrace of win at all costs. You can make alliances and break them. Doesn't matter. You stab people in the back. You do anything to win. That's when we really seem to embrace and adopt this, whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes, doesn't matter what kind of a human being I am or what I do to my fellow human beings, I won. Mm-hmm. And so whatever I did to get there is justified. And I think that has continued in our society.
And how many times have you heard people say about the bad guy on reality TV, just to go back to Survivor, on that first, I think it was Richard Hatch.
Yes.
Was the first big star. It's like, I like him. He seems like he's really smart and out to... You like him? Like, what? First of all, it's all pretend. Second of all, he's a terrible person for the things he's doing.
Yeah.
That's who you're aligning yourself with. But now that's become commonplace. It's like you want to cheer for the jerk, I guess.
Well, that's what our television is, too. I mean, like, there are reasons why I don't rewatch certain shows, is because all the characters on the show are trash and I'm supposed to root for them. And that's not just reality anymore. Some of these TV shows where characters are just like irredeemable, but for some reason we're like, yes, we want them to win. What? I want them to go to jail.
Right, exactly. And it's funny you say that about the characters, because I watched Roadhouse, the new Roadhouse, a couple of weeks ago, because it's free in my home. Well, it's not free, but I get Prime. I mean, look, I don't have to like a character necessarily, but it has to hold my interest. I have to be interested. What are their motivations? What are they trying to do? Can I get on board with that? Yes or no, whatever. But you want to talk about likable. Roadhouse, there is not one like when Conor McGregor walking around naked half the movie is the most likable character in a film. You've got problems. Even Jake Gyllenhaal, the main character, like he killed his friend in the ring. And it's like, oh, he's coming to terms with that. It's like, oh, yeah, so did OJ. I mean, what on earth? It's terrible.
You're not wrong. I watched that movie. And for those who don't know, Conor McGregor is one of the most popular MMA fighters. He's now a boxer and now he is an actor. And I use, and the air quotes on actors doing the heavy lifting. He's almost offensively Irish in that film. He's from Ireland, but and every time he speaks in that movie, he sounds surprised. Everything's new and surprised. And he's just a terrible person. I'm like, kill him immediately.
Yeah.
But did I watch the whole movie? Of course I did.
You did.
Right.
If you're just joining us, Pete Schwabba is our guest. He is the host of Nightlight across the Civic Media Radio Network Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. Just talking about things that we've been watching recently. So Roadhouse was one of your things, Pete.
Yeah, I agree with Greg. Like, he was... this film, and I talked about this, I think, with Matt Miller and Rob Thomas, this had no Sam Elliott like the first one did. You know, the first movie was not a masterpiece by any stretch, but it looks like a Broadway musical Tony winner compared to the new Roadhouse. And you're right about Conor McGregor. Like, it seemed like no one is that Irish. Okay, I get it. You have a brogue, but I swear, like, at one point he was carrying a bar of Irish Spring when he's walking through the city. You know, it's like, come on.
I face you for me lucky charms. Like, ah, yeah, God.
Exactly.
Is there anything that you've been streaming lately, Pete, or binge watching?
Yeah, a lot. I'm kind of in a guy. Okay, here's the shows I've been watching nightly, trying to get through all of them. I split my time up. Manhunt on Apple TV. I like it. It took a while to get going for me, but I like it. Ripley on Netflix. Sugar. Ripley is based on The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Right.
It's very, very well done. Very beautifully shot. Takes a while to get going. But also Sugar on Apple TV with Colin Farrell. It's like kind of a noirish. He plays a PI who's looking for a billionaire's granddaughter. Really enjoying that so far. There's only been two episodes out. Shogun I've been watching. I like that. Beautifully shot. And then Conrad, my producer on Nightlight, suggested Fallout, which is based on like the biggest video game ever, apparently.
Yeah.
And I watched it last night at his advice, and he will be getting his walking papers tonight. But it's a good, I have to give him credit. It looks like a video game show, but it's good. It's a good, for what it is, it's good. And Walton Goggins in it plays a character called the Ghoul. So that should tell you everything you need to know, but it's enjoyable.
I love Walton Goggins.
Yeah, same.
I have been obsessed with, and now I've been watching old shows. I've been watching Monk.
Oh!
With Tony Shalhoub. I love that. I love that show.
Yes.
And so the actress who plays Sharona is, I want that part. I love her accent. I love the way she dresses. I love the way the interplay between the two of them. I just think it's such a really smart, clever, funny, warm show.
It's a great show. It might be too late for you to get that role, Jane, even if you pull a Tonya Harding, but, Dare to Dream, I guess. That's a great show.
She's also in A League of Their Own, and she has that same accent, that same, like...
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that was her.
Yeah,
Is that Bitsy Schramm?
I don't know.
Now we're going to have to look her up.
We have to go to our Google machines. Monk is a great show. I've been watching Elementary, which was... When the Sherlock craze happened in the 2000s, it's Johnny Lee Miller. What's funny is that's Johnny Lee Miller as Sherlock Holmes in modern-day New York, and Lucy Liu as Joan Watson, a retired doctor who becomes his assistant. Johnny Lee Miller plays Sherlock, and Benedict Cumberbatch plays Sherlock as well. And they both starred in a version of Frankenstein where each night they'd switch roles.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's a
total CBS show. It's a network 45-minute a procedural. But with the Sherlock aspect, it's just so fun. And you can be like, I'll watch an episode 4 hours later. Like, I got to get something done today.
Biddy Schramm is the actress's name.
She was not in the movie. She was not in that Monk movie that came out recently.
That's really a shame.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah.
We would love to know what you are binge watching. If you want to text it in, that would be great. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what has captured your attention in the world of entertainment. We will be right back. Pete Schwabo will still be here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Beatenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Pete Schwabo is our guest. You can catch Pete Schwabo and Nightlight every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we were just talking about, what are we binge watching? What are we streaming? What are we kind of obsessed with lately? And we have a couple comments.
We got a text from Robert in McFarland listening to WMDX. He says, I've been watching Three Body Problem by the writers that brought you Game of Thrones on Netflix. It has a ton of actors from Game of Thrones. It's very thought-provoking. Like, how far would we go to save humanity? I have not finished it yet. I've heard people talking about it. Calvin and I were actually talking about between the first and second hour. And
it is called Three Body.
Three Body Problem.
Three Body Problem.
Yep. So it's, we'll see. It's the people who brought you Game of Thrones isn't the most compelling argument anymore because of the way that show ended so unpopularly. But if I hope, Robert, you're liking it.
Have you watched it, Calvin?
I have not watched Three Body Problem. I've been interested in it. I haven't read the book, though, so I'm kind of against watching shows that I haven't read the book about.
Oh, and I also have
a bad taste in my mouth from Dan and Dave or whatever their names are from how they handled the end of Game of Thrones. So I don't know if I want to involve myself in any of their projects.
You don't want them to hurt you again. You don't want them to hurt you again.
Do you want them on our smite list? We'll put them on our smite list.
Oh, it'd be fun to smite someone.
Right?
I watched it and I liked it and I didn't read the book either. And I have a theory. Pardon me. I'd rather watch a good show. There are millions of great books to read.
Yeah.
There are not as many great TV or movies to read based on, and especially based on books. So I would prefer, if I knew something was good, I'd rather just go, because you're not going to like it anyway if you read the book, because you have your own, obviously, you know, your own imagination going there. But so I guess I'm kind of a little different that way. But I did like the show. I thought it was, I'm not typically a sci-fi guy, but the premise is really cool. And it's one of those shows you can't go to sleep on either, though. You sort of, if you're planning on playing video poker, that's probably not the show to watch while you're doing so.
And Robert's followed it up with a text that says, get over the ending of Game of Thrones. Robert.
You tell him, Bob.
You know what? It's his freedom. It's America. I'll do what I want.
You tell him, Robert.
I get to have my opinions.
They left a Starbucks coffee cup in a shot.
They left a bottle of water.
Did they really?
Oh yeah, there was a bunch of screw ups during the filming of that.
Oh yeah,
I didn't have a problem with the ending of Game of Thrones. I did not like the second series,
The House of Dragons.
The House of the Dragons.
Oh, that one's getting all the acclaim because apparently, according to George R. R. Martin, the people who run that show care about the source material. He said that in an interview.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What I liked about the first one was at least we had Tyrion, who brought some levity.
Yeah.
And there is no levity in House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
It was not.
Probably wasn't fun back then, in that fake time.
The end of it, like, I kind of agree with people when they say that, but what were you really expecting with the end of a show like that? There's no way I don't think you could make everybody happy.
Let me tell you what I was expecting. Don't roll your eyes at me, Jane. This is the only... Okay, so, in the first episode, and Robert, I saw your next text. We're fighting.
He's Robert's hilarious.
He's getting spicy. In the first episode, in the first 10 minutes, they talk about a force that's coming. And they made a marketing campaign on winter is coming. These creatures, and as we learn, as we're going through this series, these creatures are supernatural. How are these mere mortals and some magicians going to defeat what seems like the undefeatable? So you're being brought into this world and you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. The war with the White Walkers is going to happen. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Who's going to die? Who's going to sacrifice themselves? I expected the war with the White Walkers, which was the main point of this entire show, if you ask me, to last more than an episode. It was one episode. That show, that war should have been at least half the season, if not the entirety of a season. But they started and finished the war in an hour and a half.
But numerically, there was no way for them to win.
What do you mean?
The numbers of the White Walkers.
Yeah.
Humanity was never going to be able to defeat them just numerically.
That's fine.
Because they were so outnumbered. And every time they killed somebody, now they have another White Walker. So their army just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
But that's two different arguments. My point is that the severity of this battle could not have been solved in 90 minutes. It should have taken time. There should have been, I'm just saying, you try to sell us on this huge war and it's like, oh, it's an episode. Cool. All right, moving on now. We got to get out of here. We got to make a Star Wars.
Arya saved the world. That's all everybody needs to know. It was the girl.
Which I'm sure the internet absolutely had no opinions on whatsoever.
I it's so funny listening to you guys talk about this. I watched that whole show recently. Like, I was late to the party. I barely remember their names.
Difficult.
Like, just listening. The only thing I remember about that show is the Red Wedding, and it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's good television.
It's nightmarish.
It really was. All right. Thank you so very much, Peach Wabba. We have sparked an enormous battle now over Game of Thrones.
I didn't mean to cause trouble.
Todd, we're taking over your first hour.
It's war. Listen to Peach
Thank
Wabba
you guys.
Across
Thank
the network, 7 to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday for Nightlight. Thank you so much, Pete. Really, really appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pete.
News is coming up next. Stay tuned for that. Thank you to Greg and Calvin and our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you all for calling and for listening and for texting. It means everything. I hope you find some joy this weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.